Come on, lift his hands about halfway up. I've said so many times he loves corporate worship. And boy, he loves it when you single him out and address him and tell him how much you love him. You have to understand what it cost him to give us a free will agency, the right to make choices. Cost him everything, but would there be any fellowship without it? I can turn a robot on. It has to tell me it loves me. But not if it makes its own decisions. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you and magnify you and exalt you. Lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, kiss. Ken Stota. Iki fuma ale tu posse kinesi. Sote karaya no me hasi chi. Sana kariesia tua. Sometimes you feel the excitement of something that's about to happen. You don't always know what it is. But you said, "De asoro ulamaka seje, tanchanota, eskeresia." But you feel the excitement of it. And I'd say this to you, that this time it's more than you've seen in the past. I'm not doing a new thing to me, but some of it will be a new thing to you. You'll see me move in ways that you'll say, this is amazing, much less people who are not used to it. And this will begin a talking in the town. Be strong. It won't always just be pouring out of pure love. You will be challenged. So be strong. And know that many, many, many souls will be saved in the outcome. Hallelujah. I like it when he talks like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Used to, when he'd say things, I'd get a little afraid or get a little brave. If it was good and promising, I'd be brave. Yeah, I'm your man. I'm here. It was a little scary. It was a little. But now, since the love of God has found a place in me that I didn't have before, it's hard to get scared. He says, perfect love casts out all. But I thought that was way, way out of my range, because it said perfect love. And when was I ever going to be perfect? But he is. And his love will demolish all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And it fails only half the time. Oh, you guys know the word. I better watch it. Hallelujah. So, how come you keep getting back onto that love? Because that's where all of it's going. Because that's what he is. He basically doesn't have love. He is love. So why wouldn't it go back to this? One time Bronk, you know, in Florida picked me up. And I just had a revelation, you know, and it's real dangerous for them guys to drive any distance with me just after a revelation. And I was all excited because I found out what a foundational stone of forgiving everybody and holding no ought against any had to answered prayer. You could say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and if you doubt not in your heart, you'll... Oh, but wait a minute. If you've got aught against anyone, you might as well stop praying. Just stop and go on, fix it. Then come back and finish it. And I had to know why. And I say, why does this forgiveness have so much to do with it? This is why I love praying in tongues so much. What part of you do you think it affects? The part that he said, if you doubt not in, you have what you say. You think praying in tongues don't affect that part of you? See, drastically. So when you go stop, you go forgive somebody, you just affected the part of you, he said, if you doubt not in, that's when the prayer is answered. Doubt not in your heart. My heart's a little bit different than my head. I got ahead of my heart because it's a head. Anyway. Thank you. This part of your brain back here, right back here, there, that's where your uncontrolled emotions come from. Crying. You can stop anytime. And that's where laughing comes from. So it's uncontrolled emotions. That just that part of the brain. Well, in the study, doctor, psychiatrist, he did a study on that part of the brain and found out that that's the part where tongues originate. That's why we just lean forward with it and they start creating themselves and coming out. That's the part they originate in. And so also when he says, and you doubt not in your heart, because that part of the brain delivers the true feelings. That's why it can cry. If you're lying, you start stuttering and it comes from there. So when I started finding these things out, doubt not in your heart. I wish that was a mechanical decision. It could be a decision to go there. But I'll tell you again, that forgiveness, I mean really strong forgiveness where you really are not holding it, affects the part of you that you believe with. How can you hold an ought and destroying people's lives out of one side of your head and trying to serve a God who told you that He's love and He's after a lost world? I know there's a balancing in that. You wasn't called to be somebody's rug rat, you know, stepping on you when they leave and they come. I understand all of that. You know, did you know a lot of our missionaries? They knew it was a death sentence to go where they believed God would send them. And many of them, that's where they didn't come back from. Many. But yet we have cases of men that were stoned to death and they got back up, thrown in jail, and yet it opened up and let them out. Is he a respecter of persons? No, he's not. What he does for one, he'll do for another. But their faith was still there as of such where they would go in there and if they got killed, they got killed. If they didn't, they didn't. But they were going to go do what they did for God. Amen. No fear. Of course, I'd like to escape, you know, get away. I'd like that package better than the other one. I mean, why should I go home to a mansion and wear sunglasses and lay in the sun where you're getting beat up? How do you look at it? I like that song. I'll fly away, oh glory. Preferably in a real bad trial. I never was in a meeting like last week before, hardly. I don't know what to think about it, hardly. There was a man who he got kind of run into the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power somehow, and borrowed it from a friend and read it, and then he went and looked for one on his own, and he looked everywhere and couldn't find one to Bible bookstores and anything, any bookstore. And he was looking for the walk of the Spirit, and he couldn't find one anywhere until finally he went on one of those internet places where they got everything, where people sell used ones and stuff. And he saw that book for sale on that, and he bought it. I guess he paid okay for it, but he got it, and it was already all marked up with notes and something that belonged to somebody else, you know. But he reads it, and thus he makes a journey to come over. There's about 30 that came from Canada in these meetings. But he he comes to the meeting, and he has this big old beard and stops me on the steps when I go in, and I'm like, can I get a few minutes with you? He drives a long ways, a few states or something. I said, okay. Okay. Sure. And so Pastor Franklin got me and said, this guy really needs you, and he needed a couple of kids prayed for. So I prayed for them, and then his wife was standing there, and she was dressed really funny. And then I remembered that I went and preached a dinner for the Amish. You know, and they don't drive cars, they drive horses. Some of them is updated. I don't know if they're popular or a split or what. But they drive horses around. And while I was having that dinner, it was funny to see horses go by. So when I saw her, I knew she's Amish because of that. Then he says, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he tells me about the encounter with the book and everything. I said, yeah. He said, and I think my wife's got it, but she can't speak with tongues. So would you pray for it? I said, sure. After praying for the two kids, we laid hands on her and prayed, and she just busted out speaking in tongues. And they started hugging. And so, you know, she goes, I got a crick. That's like baiting a hook for me. You know that, don't you? That's baiting a hook. I can't leave that one alone. I got a neck. I go, oh, can I see your arm, says the spider to the fly. See, let me raise your arms up. And she's, so I looked, they were about like this. I don't know. Wasn't real. She's real little. If she'd have been that tall, it could have been like this. But about this much. And so I had to explain to him, he's going to straighten her spine out, and her neck will go away. Her pain will go away. That's what happened to me. Somebody prayed for my neck went away. It's just hard to choke me, though. I'm good in a fight. Do you ever read from the Word? What do you think I'm doing when I'm quoting it? Had to get it somewhere. So he's just, you know, he's this tall. She's about this tall. And he's just looking at him and going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know. So I pulled on it, lifted that side of her body up, and he goes, uh-huh. And I said, no, I'm going to pray for you now. She says, oh, okay. And so here it was, you know, he's just standing there waiting for me, and I'm going to pray for her, being nice about it. And it goes, and he saw it move up because he pulled on it. He said, go. And he goes. He lost it. He never said it. You know, oxymoron is. Well, let's lessen it. It's what I did to poor Cecil when he had a farm in Oak Ridge and I was working at the mill. And then I went full time and I got the first telephone in all of Oak Ridge in a car. I had the only car telephone. They had a, you picked the microphone up and went, operator, operator. And the operator would come on, then you could give her a telephone number. She'd connect you to a machine, and then you could call. So nobody had one except me. So I drove up to Cecil's ranch. Is he here? I can't exaggerate that. He had a fat horse. Then unless he put a saddle on, I couldn't ride it. I'd fall off. The Cecil's at the kitchen phone. It's where, handy, where you can see out when a car pulls up and be on the phone at the same time. So, you know, this is impossible. You're in the car. You can't be on the phone. So I pull up and he sees me pull up while he's talking to me. Hi, Cecil. Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing fine. Well, yeah, what you doing today? Yeah, yeah. The small talk, you know. Then I pulled up in the yard. And he looks outside and he goes, he looks at the phone, goes, Dave? Because it's impossible. Your mind locks up. That's what his. He heard all about God, and when that just moved that far, he goes, how can your mind figure out something that can't be? So you should have seen him. He's going to go back to his whole neighborhood. And he wants to send him some cases of books. He's going to go for a revival in the Amish community. Wow. You know what would make that so good? Of course, I could go read the verse, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 and 2 and 3. He that prophesies edifies the church, but he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Why? Because prophecy they understand, and God's mind is made manifest for the church, for the city, and for what they're doing. They're being informed. But he that prays in an unknown tongue is edified too. Why? You're praying mysteries. The mysteries you're praying is really bottom line foundation, the mystery of everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you, the hope of glory. So when you're praying in tongues, you're praying the mystery of Christ and the understanding of Him alive. It comes alive in your spirit. He said the church is edified because they know what God's will is. You pray in tongues, you're edified because the mysteries of who Christ is in you is revealed to you on a one-to-one basis. So see, that's really the wellspring of revival. If he gets enough people filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues, then that praying in tongues is going to go get the plan of God and try to put it on every Amish believer there. That he'll start understanding the fullness of it, be taught by the Holy Spirit, come out of it, have your revival, and affect the rest of the Amish world. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, I'm over there teaching and preaching. I don't know, I did quite a bit of crying. at the same time, I got three or four more reports. And I'm saying this for the sake of prayer. I got three or four more different reports that had come in about the Holy Spirit and the revelation of Him in the book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, is beginning to affect people. So I'm trying to figure out how this is happening, but it's digging the well of revelation knowledge right in their midst, that they can pray the truth out forward, and He can start bringing them out, like the day of Pentecost when the entire church got poured on and spoke with tongues. You know, Miss Mary, she was in the upper room. She was up there. She got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues too. Are you having fun? Yes. If you'll let me, I need you to pray. Something's happening. I need you to pray because He's trying to do something. This morning when I was up watching you guys still in the booth, some of you. Anyway, I was watching up there at the booth and I was wondering about some of these things because something's awful close. I've known it before, but not, well, never mind. You have a right to wait to see it happen, you know. But I was up there and I was watching you guys to see what, you know, what you do when you listen. You do the same thing I do. You look and wonder. And then I slipped into the Spirit for a minute and I saw a well. This well, it'd go here and it'd be there, dug down, and then it'd go and it'd be dug down somewhere else. And when he started explaining it to me a little bit, what it was doing is landing in a religion, then digging down into it. And I'm thinking, well, this has got to do with what you've been trying to teach me here. What is this? Whenever they get filled with the Holy Ghost and start praying with tongues, it starts digging out every false doctrine, every false believing. And it'll keep digging down till it gets it all out where God can move in the fullness of them. Give them everything they got coming. Get their relatives. Do all of it. It doesn't matter what religion and what they're believing. This well can go deep enough to straighten anybody or anything out because it's the Word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit. So when the first copy came to me off the press from here, I was preaching with Norval Hayes at his college in Florida. I was suffering on the beach. It was horrible. And so here I've got my first book. And when the messenger put it in my hand, they sent it. And I heard this voice say, I'm going to use this to do or to help do a work in the foundation of the body of Christ. And I almost said, get behind me. Get behind me. And I was trying to figure out how to say what he wanted me to say without appearing like you think you're somebody or something. This shirt don't fit. This was it. I wore this shirt because Gary wears shirts like this. It says, I almost said, get behind me. You know, don't bother me with that. Do a work. Yeah, right. And so I wondered, but I didn't say anything like that. I went along with it. And when the 30 came over from Canada to camp meeting there, and they too were somehow affected, and these other people were some kind of affected. This, when it lands among religion, it starts digging that hole, digging down where the truth is, and it causes it to come forward, because you can't keep praying the revelation knowledge of the Word, the truth, and then have it stay hid. So it, just like the day of Pentecost, what was the first thing that came to them when they were all together? Boy, if there was a trouble with languages, man, they found themselves speaking each other's language. The early world had to be flooded in 2,000 years. And the reason is because the communication was just one language. I mean, you could get anything around the world very shortly if there was one language. So, that's what we had. But it confounded the language at the Tower of Babel. And then it took a little bit longer for communication to go around the world. And now in the last days, he says, travel would increase. That's what we're in. We're terminating again. But it's okay. This time we go to the new heaven and the new earth. We don't get a remodeled earth and come back. We go get a new heaven and a new earth. Is that real to you? Hallelujah. Well, what he was trying to show me, and it was hard to, because I've been around so many preachers 40 years and started becoming one myself for a little while, when they just really exalted themselves. They thought they were something because God was using them one way or another. And after I seen the damage and things, I didn't want any part of that. So I end up trying to say something where it'll be decent. You know, not like you're trying to outshine this one, do more than that one. I'm trying to keep it kind of like to a testimony or this or that. But when he said that, I'm going to do a work, I said, yeah, get behind me almost. But in that vision just this morning, I was backing out a little bit on what I was going to say. And instead I had that. So, when he talked about when you prophesy, the tongues are the church is edified because they know the mind of God. When you pray in tongues, you're edified. Why? Because you understand the mystery of everything. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Well, how can that revelation hit a movement full blast and not have it dig down into every error that's there and bring it forward towards a great revival in the last days? Why wouldn't it do its part? The answer is, if you walked in with enough power and demonstration to make them know that you can have this, they'll do it. It'll be part of the revival. But I almost said, get behind me when he says, I'm going to do the work in the foundation. I'm like, get behind me. So, the Canadians, the Amish, and say, what kind of meeting did you have with him up there? Oh my gosh. Over half the people, the crowd got healed. There's a bunch getting filled with the Holy Ghost. But more than that, there were several of them going back to other places they had come in from. When I heard some of the stories, all I could do is just cry. What I need is a lot of prayer. when he brings me across your mind, please don't let it go. I'm facing the most dangerous enemy now that you can dream of. And I'm not going to let him win. I was going to read 1 Corinthians 12 about the edifications. But I can tell you, he wants to go to the core of every wrong believing incorporation that's teaching wrong, preaching wrong, leaving it all out. And if he can get the teacher into the core, he can change the organization. And that's what he said about the book. It would help do that. And that's what it's been doing, whether we like it or not. Hallelujah. I don't know anything else. When I walked off my job, I couldn't preach because I was afraid. I couldn't get up in front of people and say nothing. I got D's in high school because I wouldn't give oral reports. My holiness pastor, where I got saved, he'd say, Brother Roberson, testify. Well, come on. He'd say, well, sorry, folks. He told me he was called. I didn't know what to do. Finally, we had David, and we just packed up. I said, let's go to Oregon. So we packed up from Los Angeles, and Rosalie's just a little city girl. We ran to Oregon. Not only did we run there, we went to the high desert, 4,800 elevation. Ice that thick. One time it made it all year. Cars slide around, they don't drive. So we went way out, and then I moved to the top of the High Cascades, Willamette River, all of that good fishing. Real men shot moose and little deers and stuff. Of course, you could meet a bear or a lion when you're hiking. Thank you. I could barely survive. So it works down. Finally, I get, I'm called. I know I'm called. And I braved it out. I did it. I braved it. Booked the meeting. $5 a night for the hall. I did it. I had to do it. I had to do it. So I went from where my aunt was, Florence. Had an aunt there so I could stay free. The hall cost $5 a night. I pay that kind of money. The paper ad, $12. Plan to attend a miracle service. I'm going, yeah, who's going to be there to do them? Then a 16-year-old kid on the guitar. And I was hiding in the kitchen, which had a pull-up service counter. And I cracked it about that big and was peeking at him and the 8, 9, 10 people that was there come from the ad. I'm peeking. He's playing every song. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Play another one. There is not. And then play another one. I was hiding. Finally, I thought, it's now or never. I come out and I take that little plastic mic up, a little bit thin cord, down to a big old fat recorder. It's a big, you could talk through it. It amplified it a little, at least it conveyed your voice. I'm talking, I memorized Kenneth Hagin's tape on Luke 6:30. When I was a young Baptist boy in a bed of affliction, God healed my body. I memorized it and I walked out for the great message. All 10 people by that are staring at me. It would be okay if we just talking in a crowd. Hi. But not when they're all there and you've got a mic. It's up to you. Baptist. Young. Got healed. I'm healed. He said it. Anybody need to be healed?
Well, I do, Sonny. I've had this deaf ear.
Shh! Quiet, be quiet. Don't say it. Shh! Don't say nothing. Come, please. Which ear is it?
It's this one, Sonny.
Shh! Don't put your... I'm looking at the crowd and they're looking at all of them. They're vast. So I lean over and I whisper, "Can you hear me?" And I waited. "Why won't you answer?"
"What?
Why didn't you answer?"
"Because I couldn't hear you."
"Oh, okay. Oh, it's deaf?"
"Well, that's what they tell me, Sonny."
"Okay, shh. Don't say any more. If it doesn't open, I don't want them to know you have a deaf ear." Right. Well, I didn't say it out loud. So, okay. Let me see. How did that guy do this? Yeah, that's right. Put it up there. "In Jesus' name, open. Open." I said, "What?" "I can hear you. I've been healed." Well, all of a sudden, a spirit of boldness came on me. She had a deaf ear. And I prayed for her. And she was healed. It did something in me. It did something. It took enough of the fear away to where I could operate, develop, begin to come forward. I had did all kinds of crazy things in those days. Like Earl Hitchin had come in, he'd teach me more faith. And I was praying in tongues. He started praying some. We just did it for the time because I could run out of English. I knew nothing about it. But I got down and just, I found another preacher laid hands on me and that other gift started operating. Hold me, look. It's okay. He wanted me to pray for his leg, Earl Hitchin. So I get down, I pulled his shoes up just far, this far from me like that. I went stiff, plop, and I fell over on the floor like that. He goes, "Very funny." He says, "I act like I smelled his feet and fainted." "Very funny." Like I told you when I was teaching before, that Earl was my teacher and things. I didn't know what praying in tongues would do. It said, "Identify you, great." I was waiting for it. Whatever it was. Earl, you know, all of a sudden I started getting, I get a scripture, a paragraph. And all of a sudden I understood it. I didn't know how, but hey, that's what that means. So I'd run over to Earl and he'd give me the old meaning. I said, "How about this, Earl?" He'd go, "How'd you get that?" I said, "I don't know. Doesn't it just go off in you like that? It's been a source that's changed my life, so there's nothing it'll keep from you." The most powerful thing about it, that he prays your path out ahead of you, so when you get there, you know you're supposed to turn left or right. Because he's working his plan in the edification process of you, your call, and everything he wants you to do. What did he say? Jesus. He said, the Holy Spirit shall receive of mine, and he'll shew it unto you. Well, there must be a way that you activate him, don't you think? There must be a way you can activate him on purpose just because you want to. And again, my favorite saying, the path to everything the cross provided is as sovereign and finished as the cross itself. Why do all of that and then don't make a way to go to it on purpose? See, there's a direct path for you into everything he's called you to do. All you have to do is get on it and put one foot in front of the other. You think, or could ever dream that I'd be going to any of these places, going to. I'd freeze up. I haven't even told you all that's happened because I can't. I'm not going to get taken out. We just didn't stumble onto something good. We stumbled on what? What? Loses the Holy Spirit into showing these things unto you. How do you get him? You know, you're believing something crazy. What's going to happen when you start praying in tongues? He won't leave you crazy. He'll pray you out of crazy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. I just loved watching him heal people up there. Over half the crowd got healed of something. They had pains and things leave. So I just hate to see you run out on this. Is this a holiday or anything? Oh, it's not my birthday yet. I can't bear the thought of you suffering from pain while you're celebrating my birthday, you know.